Turn to Isaiah chapter 7. Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, as we look. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be the child and give a birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. And if you would, flip over to the next page, over to chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. May God add a blessing upon this reading. As we think about the signs of Christmas, there are all kinds of signs that we see. As we think about those signs, we see that there are so many that sometimes you can just recognize them with the symbols that are on it. But there are also places that have signs that are not necessarily known. For instance, we had a place right outside of Richlands on 460 as you came in on the left. Looked like an old dairy barn, painted up and hand-painted stuff. And on it was a handwritten word, Cuzzes. People from all over the world know where Cuzzes is. You may not know where it is. They don't advertise. They don't put it on TV. They don't do anything. But throughout this world, people know about Cuzzes. And they go there. And they travel. And if you ride by there at nights when they're open, they are packed out every night they're open. Now, how do we know about places like that? By word of mouth, isn't it? Because like you said, my parents went out. When I first moved to Richlands, they drove by it. Didn't even know they went by it. It didn't look like a restaurant. But there was those little words, C-U-Z, hand-painted. And it even looked like maybe a three-year-old had done it. Advertisement. That's how they knew it. You see all kinds of people today as we think about this. You think about what? Salvation Army, what's the first thing you think about? The guys and girls that are standing out there in the cold, the heat, the rain and snow and whatever else, ringing that little bell with that little red teapot, isn't it? How many actually know what the actual sign for the Salvation Army really is? We've got it in our minds is the pot. But that's not it at all, is it? But that is what we see. How many of you ride down the interstate and one of the first fast food places you see on all signs, everything else, McDonald's, right? They are known by their sign, not by their food, right? But we know of signs. Now, how do we know Christmas is here? Decorations. The town has put up their streets after or even before Halloween this year. Christmas went up in stores, didn't they? Trees went up, buy this, buy that. Sales have started going on. How many of you have taken time out in your busy schedule at nights just to ride around? Why do we do that? It's not because the lights are beautiful. Yes, it is. But it just kind of makes it Christmassy, isn't it? And I don't know about your neighborhood, but in our neighborhood, it seems like they went crazy this year with lights. It almost looks like the Denton resident looks like Scrooge compared to everybody else's. Ours across the street got all these blinky lights, you know, and it plays the music just like you see on the thing. But we see that it is Christmas time because of all of these different things. The Boy Scouts had their tree thing set up out here, and you saw the trees for sales and Food Line and all of these other places. We see trees that are being sold, aren't we? And we see all kinds of signs for Christmas. But you know what I'm seeing less and less of at Christmas time? signs of decorations of the nativity scene. It's all these blinky lights and the snowmans that blow up and the Santa Claus and the snowman that shakes, you know, and it's all of that, isn't it? And used to, you could always find a nativity scene. But when's the last time you've really seen one sitting out in somebody's yard? When's the last time you've seen it setting out in public? So as we think about signs this morning, we read these signs, and we see here the biblical signs that God has given us. The greatest sign of Christmas was given 700 years before Christ during the times of Isaiah. And this morning, this is what we want to see out of this, the signs of Christmas of Christ. The first thing we want to see is the importance of the sign. Signs are given to announce events. For many of us, when we're going out of town, we're going somewhere, somebody gets sick, and you need a hospital, you can always find what? The big blue sign with the white H and telling you where to go to it, isn't it? We use signs to get wherever we need to go. Sometimes we get in these busy cities and towns and whatnot, and you think the sign is saying go this way, but it actually meant not this way, but further right than what you actually did. We use it for directions. We need it for directions. Folks, this morning, we need God's Word to give us directions as we celebrate Christmas. As we think about all of the beautifulness, all of the decorations and the lights, and the people that spend hours on top of hours designing all of this stuff, could you imagine if we spent that much time serving God and sharing? Signs provide identification. You like the people that walk around with a necklace with a cross on it, or somebody with a lapel sign to identify themselves as a Christian with a little fish on it. We have all kinds of signs and buttons that we wear to identify ourselves with, don't we? Remember back in the old days, I believe in Sunday school, I brought a friend day pins to identify. We use all kinds of identifications, but folks, the biggest identification we have is this right here. Now, if you're going to leave this country and go into another country, you have to have a passport. And you know what it takes to fill out a passport. All of the paperwork that needs to be done, and it has to be just right in order for you to go from one country to the next. And that passport becomes something that is dear to you. And when you leave this country and go to another one, you just don't let anybody hold on to it, do you? You want it, because if you don't have it, you can't get back into your home country. So you're just not going to let anybody hold it. It's going to become dear and precious to you, isn't it? Folks, this is our passport this morning. This is our identification. This is what we need. And if we don't have it, then how can we be directed and guided to where it needs to be gone? In church, unfortunately, a lot of Sundays, there are Bibles that are picked up that belong to somebody, and you notice they don't ever put their names in that Bible so we can call them and say, you left your Bible at church today. They're hoping that it will lay right where they forgot it so the next week they could come and pick it up. So how do you identify yourself all week if your Bible is at church? Now, I take this bulletin on Sundays. If I take it and I put it down, I've lost it. And I either have to go get another one, or I have to go find the one I had already marked on. If I was that way with my Bible, where would I be? You see, this should be a sign for us. It's important. We see that these signs, and God has given us the greatest signs here, as we read in Isaiah. He gave it to them. He gave it on the night that Jesus was born. He gave it to the shepherds. He gave it to the kings, that the wise men that travel, they follow that star. God continually gives us signs. And in Matthew 1:21, he says, she will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. He gave Mary a sign. Joseph received a sign. All of the prophets, Zechariah, received it. Remember, he was able to live to do what? To actually hold baby Jesus and to see the Son of God. before he died. Signs after signs are given to us through here. The virgin birth. As we studied in college, New Testament survey, professor made this statement. The virgin birth is not important. I'm not getting any funny looks. Does that mean you're in agreement with that statement? My first reaction was, and when he called on me, I said, wait a minute, what do you mean it's not important? God put it in the Bible, didn't he? He goes, yes. I said, then that's good enough for me. If God put it in the Bible, it's there. It's a sign for us. And I said, second of all, how many other virgin births do you know of? Anybody else know of a virgin birth than the one that's in the Scriptures? Then why is that so important? That sign is important simply because God sent His Son on this earth to be with sinful people, to eat with, to sleep with, to talk with, and to die for our sins. And that is the only virgin birth that is given. And our faith is built around it. If we don't believe in the virgin birth, then we have no faith, no belief in Calvary, do we? So we have to see that the virgin birth is a sign that God has given us. And God wanted no misunderstandings concerning the birth. There was no other way that any doctors can ever explain the birth of Jesus. There's no way. They have tried and they cannot come up with it. Jesus was born of a virgin birth, and they can't understand that. It is through God that we understand it. This sign from God provided us identification. His name is Emmanuel, God with us. He was not just another Hebrew child that was born in poverty that night. He was special. No, he didn't have the royalty that was expected. John 1:14 says, the Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. Secondly, the tragedy of missing the sign. What if the shepherds, when they woke up and all of that heavenly host was upon them, what had happened if they looked and they were so scared that they covered their heads up, and when it was all over with, they said, wow, I'm glad that's over with. But instead, they said, what? Let us go see this. Let us go see what they've just proclaimed. And when they went, they saw baby Jesus, and they worshipped Him. And the Scripture said they did what? They went out and they told others. But what would have happened that night if the shepherds had not listened, had not been curious enough to go check it out and to see? What would have happened? What if the wise men had ignored the star and not followed that star? There again, predictions are, and anticipation. How long did he travel? I don't know. A year, 2 years. How many was there? I don't know. If it was 3, if it was 6, if it was 10, I don't know. And nobody knows. But what we do know is wise men followed a star until it led them to Jesus. What if they'd not followed it? What if they'd not brought their gifts to Jesus that night and told others? You know, one of their witnessing times was to Herod. Well, what are you here for? Well, we're here to see the king, the baby that was born that's supposed to be the king. Could you imagine being King Herod and hear that? And they were able to see baby Jesus and to do what? Leave a different route. The tragedy. But there's no greater tragedy today than people who disregard the light of the bright morning star and follow the signs that God has given us each day. We all receive signs, don't we, from God? I think it's funny because when I go down to Roanoke to the hospital, you have to park in the parking deck, and you walk down, and there's one of those little buttons, yellow buttons, that you push. And when you push it, it's probably saying, don't walk. And I've watched people push the button, look both ways, nothing is coming, and what? Walk across. What good was the do not walk sign flashing up there if you're going to walk it anyway? If you don't listen, what happens if you get hit because you didn't listen to that sign? What happens when we don't listen to God's signs for our lives? Each day He gives us signs. Each day He gives us opportunities. And then thirdly, what do we do with the sign? We need to read and heed what the sign says. An intelligent person will take in and they will consider the sign, and then they will act upon it as they have gleaned it. The shepherds came and offered their praises to God. The wise men came and brought their gifts. How will you react to God over this season? Over the holidays? What is Christmas Day to you? What does it mean? Is it to get up, to run downstairs, or run to the room where the tree is, where all the gifts are, and just begin ripping presents open and getting all excited about it, and then 25, maybe 30 minutes later, it's over with? Then we start thinking about, oh, gracious, cleanup time. What is Christmas? Do we take time out on the day that we celebrate the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ and really worship Him? You know, I used to think it was silly, but when our kids were growing up, as we taught them about Jesus, one year they decided and looked at us and said, "Dad, we need to sing Happy Birthday to Jesus." And guess what? We stopped, and we did. Happy birthday to you. And we sang Happy Birthday to Jesus. That came from our kids because we had taught them about the Christmas story. And do you know that at 30 years of age, our oldest son still says, "We've got to sing Happy Birthday to Jesus"? And he's teaching these kids that he's got now the same thing. What do we come this morning for? What do we come on Christmas Day? Is it to celebrate the gifts, to see the surprises on our family's faces? Or is it to see the glow of Jesus on Christmas Day? Let's not be sidetracked this year. Let's not celebrate all the gifts and the trees and all of that, the lights. But let us celebrate the light. Jesus said, "What? I am the light. Nobody can get to the Father except what? Through me." So you see, all these things that we do at Christmas time won't get us to heaven. You can give all the money you want to and put it in the offering plate, and it won't get you to heaven. You can have a perfect attendance in Sunday school, and it won't get you into heaven. You can serve on committees and teams and even be a deacon in the church, and it won't get you to heaven. You could feel the call of God's ministry to preach the gospel, and it still won't get you to heaven. Jesus said what? "The only way to the Father is through me." Period. So folks, as we think about Christmas, as we celebrate Christmas, let's keep our focus upon Christ, who is Christmas. Let us pray. Father, we thank You for this day. We thank You for the honor that we have had to worship You. And may our worship be worthy to You this morning, Father. Each one of us worthy, lifting up our worship to You. And Father, may our hearts be touched and moved in a way that our gifts will represent our Lord Jesus Christ. For it's in Your name we pray. Amen.